Welcome to the September 24th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Who is the Greatest? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
We are so pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this morning, whether longtime member or first-time guest. Let me say a special welcome to you. Several announcements I'll make as we get started this morning. We would like to make sure who was here. We'd like to get a record of you being in worship this morning, and there are pew pads that help us do that. On the inside aisle of every pew, there is a pew pad. We invite everyone who is here, member or guest, to take that and fill in your name. Check the appropriate boxes. Members and guests, we ask that you fill all the contact information as you feel comfortable and give that information to us. And then send that down the aisle. And once it reaches the end of the pew, if you could send that back to where it started so our ushers can pick that up later in at the end of the service. Regular schedule this afternoon. Everything is like normal. Youth choir at 4:30. There is a 5 o'clock meeting of the Team I Am. That's our local mission teams. They'll be doing some work at homes close to our church. There's some information in the insert that you have in your bulletin this morning. There is a 5 o'clock informational meeting. If you are interested in doing some, helping some people in our neighborhood do some light construction work at their homes, we hope that you come at 5 o'clock this afternoon to be a part of that. As well, we have our life service, which happens tonight at 7 o'clock. Life is our contemporary service, which happens every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall. It's a great time, and we hope that you plan to come and be a part of that. It's an informal time of worship, and it is a wonderful time to be together. There is one change for tonight. The discipleship classes are to begin tonight. There is only one change with that. The other discipleship class will occur as normal, but the getting to know your Bible study in the New Testament will not take place tonight. Marcy Frick had a death in her family, and she will not be there tonight to lead. So if you were going to the getting to know your Bible, the study of the New Testament, that starts next Sunday. Reminder to our children this morning, we do have children's time. Raymond will have a time to talk with you this morning. We want you to come down during the last stanza of hymn number 6. That's Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Just make your way down here at during the last stanza of that hymn, and he will meet you down here. Speaking of children, it's time for our basketball teams. From third grade all the way through 12th grade, children and youth, we have a basketball team for everyone. Practice will begin in just a few weeks, and we want you to know that there's a team for you. We have a third through sixth grade junior co-ed team. We have a seventh to 12th grade girls team, a seventh to ninth grade guys team, and a 10th to 12th grade girls guys team. Sorry. We have four teams, great opportunity for us to outreach and to get visitors into the church. If you're interested in playing, you can talk to me and be looking in the newsletter for information that's coming about basketball coming up very, very soon. There will be a called church conference this coming Wednesday, September the 27th. This called church conference will be held in order to discuss and vote on the missions giving plan, the new one that our denominational relations committee is bringing to the church. So that would be this Wednesday evening. I'd like to recognize Sally Krotz for an announcement.
I'm here to announce the formation of a new Sunday school class in our church. And this is a class for singles in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. We just have recently had a singles class that began under the leadership of Mary Nell Page and Alice Wilson. And that is for post-college and career younger singles, but the class that I'm speaking about today is for those a little bit more chronologically advanced, as I am now. Dennis and Vicki Palmer are leading this class, and my husband Van and I are going to assist them in getting this started. I'm excited about this class. You might wonder why, because I'm an old married lady, but I enjoyed several years in a singles class in Raleigh at Trinity Baptist Church, and actually that's where Van and I met and where we got married. And now I know that doesn't happen, even though it happened about a dozen times in our class, I know it doesn't happen with every singles class, but what all of us know about Sunday school time is that it is a time to gather with people that are in like circumstances with us, close to our same age, with the same age children or whatever it might be. And this applies in the singles class as well. It's an opportunity for us to study our Bibles together and to know God better, and to understand how what we know about Him applies to our everyday lives. It's an opportunity for us to have the privilege to pray together, to pray specifically for each other, and to watch and wait for God's answer in His perfect way and in His perfect timing. It's also a time in Sunday school for us to enjoy seeing each other outside of class time, when we can have social times together and to enjoy fellowshipping with each other. So I invite you singles to join us, either in Alice and Mary Nell's class or in this new class that is starting. And our class is going to begin next Sunday morning, and we're going to have an informal time of food and fellowship in Smith Hall, so that's Sunday, October the 1st. For you church members that are already established in Sunday school class, please pray for us as we start this new venture. Pray that God will bring the right people and for our leading of this class. And we will see you next Sunday in Smith Hall. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. That is an exciting new ministry that's beginning up, and we do need to pray for them and as that gets started off well. Speaking of new opportunities, there's something that we've added in the newsletter recently to tell you about some openings that we have in our volunteer positions. And just want to draw attention to that and make sure that you know that we do have some openings, some very serious needs that we need to fill as we are just beginning the new year. Just want you to know that the preschool Sunday school director is open, as well as some teachers in our babies and cuddlers, as well as our children's graded Sunday school areas, and we have certain areas in our children's music department and our youth area. We have several places that you could plug in, and we definitely need help in making sure that our ministries are fully make sure that they have the volunteers that they need to function well. So if you're able to volunteer for those or have questions about the positions that you see in the newsletter, please feel free to call me and ask me, and I'll be glad to help you with that. Let me see. I do want to say a special welcome. This morning we will be having several students from the Wake Forest University Baptist Student Union many of them are usually here every week, but some will be coming in and they'll be visiting with us this morning. So if you see some faces that you're not as familiar with, please say a special welcome to them as they are visiting with us this morning. We are very glad. We have some of the best Wake Forest students that attend with us regularly, and we're glad that y'all are here this morning, and for those that will be coming later. Whew, I think that's all the announcements. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. With all the announcements, we have lots of things that happen in the life of our church, and our ushers are coming down the aisles now, and they want to tell you a little bit about that through a packet of information. We like for you as a guest, to raise your hand. We know that you've already given us information about you in the pew pad a little while ago. We'd like for you to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning so we can give something to you. Inside this packet of information is just who College Park is, tells you a little bit about what we believe and what we do, including a newsletter that tells you about things that are going on in the life of our church currently. College Park is a great place to be, and we hope that you consider being a part of us on a regular basis, and we look forward to worshiping with you today and answering any questions that you might have. Please please feel free to see me or any of the staff or anybody in the pews close to you, and they'll be glad to answer the questions that you might have or point you in the right direction. You know, I've been here almost 3 years, and it never ceases to amaze me to sense the power of worship in this place. It's one of the things that we do exceptionally well at College Park, is to worship God. And I feel that it is so good is because we know that we are worshiping. It's not something that we sit back and do. It's something that we actively participate in. When we worship God, when we sing His praises, when we pray in His name, and we listen to His word and we seek a way to apply it to our lives, that is worship. And that's why we are here this morning. We begin our worship every Sunday morning with a responsive reading. You will see this printed in your bulletin, our invitation to share in worship. And this is our chance to join our voices together. And I invite you to stand now for an invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints.
Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King.
Let them praise His name with dancing, and make music to Him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation.
Let the saints rejoice in His honor, and sing for joy on their lips.
You may be seated. Father, we have come into this place on this day at this time to worship You and to bless Your name. Father, You have called us here this morning from a variety of places and life circumstances. We come this morning from various homes. We took several ways to get to College Park this morning. But Father, You have united us in the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is alive. Jesus is the one who offers us forgiveness and salvation, mercy and grace. He gives us a second chance to live a life worthy of Your calling. So, Father, regardless of where we have come from, we know we are here now. And we are here to worship You. So help us to focus on You and You alone. To focus on Your word. To focus on listening to Your voice. And to focus on being stronger followers of Christ because we were here. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, good-looking group. Hey, buddy, how you doing? We've got a special topic for this morning, and I need your help with this. I'm going to say something, and I need you all to finish the statement, okay? Can you do that? It's kind of a song. It goes, and youth, you may want to help them with this. I think you can do it. It starts like this. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Okay, very good. All right, good. Parents, don't laugh. You get your chance in just a moment. This morning, we're going to talk about superheroes. Now, I know SpongeBob probably doesn't qualify as superhero. I mean, look at this guy. I mean, superhero? What's another superhero? What's one of your favorite superheroes? Power Rangers. Okay, what's another superhero? Superman. Just so happened to have a visual aid. Superman. Yeah. What's another one? Batman. Yeah, Batman. What's another superhero? Jeff, do you have a superhero? Not what? Better not be Wonder Woman. Okay. All right. Spider-Man. Good recovery. Okay. Spider-Man. Now, what makes superheroes super? Yes, ma'am. They help people. Power. What else? What makes superhero? Part strength. Yes. Pardon? Trust. What else? Muscles. Yeah. Strength. Muscle. Yeah. Okay. What makes them great? Those are all pretty good things, aren't they? They save people. They sure do. They help people. Those are all good things. Now, you may not believe it, but you'll realize it after today. The disciples had a little discussion about what makes people great. In the story that we're going to talk about this morning, a little bit later, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth, but the disciples were walking along, and believe it or not, they were talking about which one of them was the greatest. And, you know, they could have had several things to say. Someone might have said, well, you know, I'm the greatest because I met Jesus first. Or I'm the greatest because I was the first disciple called. Or I'm the greatest because, you know, I walked on the water with the guy. All of those things, they could have been talking about why they were greatest. But Jesus turned all of that upside down. Because he said, if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. He said, if you want to be the greatest in God's kingdom, you have to put yourself first. No, he said last. If you want to be the greatest, you have to put yourself last. You need to be a servant. What are some ways that you can... Do you know what a servant is? Someone that helps someone, right? So what are ways that you can be a servant to your friends or your family? Clean. You can come to my house, Claudia. Yeah, that's right. If you want to be a servant, honey, you can come to my house and be a servant. What else? What are other ways that you can be a servant? You can clean Ashton's room for him. What are other ways?
Clean the whole church.
Clean the whole church. There you go. You stay with me, buddy. All right?
Wipe the ceiling.
Uh-huh. Clean the ceiling. That's right. What are other ways that you can be a servant? Apart from cleaning, are there any other ways maybe at school that you could be a servant? Yes, sir. Help people. Okay. Can you think of a way maybe that you could help a classmate or maybe a next-door neighbor? You can tell them about God? Certainly. See, that's my challenge for you this week, is to think about ways that you can help other people. Now, you may have to be creative. And in order to know how to help someone, you have to kind of watch what they're doing, don't you? See where they need help.
And they direct you?
Yes, they sure do. They sure do. So think about that this week. That's our challenge. Now, adults, here's your chance to help. The kids did it great earlier. I'm going to start a slogan, and you need to finish it. And you may have to be quick here. There's no need to fear. That's my favorite superhero. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the chance to be with these children. We thank you for their enthusiasm and their spirit. And we pray that you would help us to discover what it means and how we can better serve others. Because we know in serving others, we are serving you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to your seat.
I invite you to take your Bibles or find a pew Bible in front of you there. We will be reading a couple passages this morning out of the New International Version. We're starting in Proverbs chapter 31, starting with verse 10 and reading through verse 31. That's Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, and then we'll be flipping over to James chapter 3. Hear the word of the Lord. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And then flipping over to the New Testament, James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13 through chapter 4, verse 3, and then 7 and 8. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And then moving to verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. May God add the blessing to the reading, hearing, and application of his word. Will you pray with me? Father, on this day, our desire is to come near to you. and for you to draw near to us. That's why deep down inside this morning, as we are experiencing worship, there is something that is at peace. We are at peace because we were meant to be here. Not just to be here this morning, but to be in worship. For we were created to worship you. We were created to be in relationship with you. So we are called to this place because we are at peace when we are here. Your presence calms us, soothes us, and reminds us that even on the darkest of days, you are here. Father, remind us that even when the world seems dark and gray, and the challenges that we face, both in our own homes and around the world, that you are light. You are the great light, the one who offers salvation and hope and a future. You offer us forgiveness and the perfection of your Son's death and resurrection. You have given us a new day. We come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we come to find answers for the questions that plague us. Often we experience holes in our lives that we can't seem to fill. Our hearts are missing something. Often we try to replace that hole with things that the world offers, only to be disappointed and hurt again. Remind us to fill that God-shaped void with you. It's why we are here. And that's what the world needs. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
May we pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of being here to worship you today. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, too many to mention, and Lord, much more than any of us deserve. Lord, we know that we are called to be your people. We have been blessed with so much, and yet there is hunger around the world. We have been called to emulate what our Master has shown us, peace, and yet there is war in so many places. Lord, forgive us where we fail you, and draw us closer to you, because we know that we have been called to be your people and to have a relationship with you. And if we fail in that respect, it's only because of our choosing. Thank you for this church and for the many places that proclaim your word throughout this world. And go with us. Bless the gift today and the giver. Forgive us of our sins, we ask in thy name. Amen.
This morning, our reading will be from Mark chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark will be in chapter 9. We'll be beginning in verse 30 and read through verse 37. Mark chapter 9, 30 to 37. You may have a, if you don't have a copy of God's Word in your hand, there should be one in the pew. So we'll give you a moment to retrieve that. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 30. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. And he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. And they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." And he took a little child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his word. Parents, I don't know if you've ever used this phrase, "Come on now, you know better than that." And I suspect it wasn't to your spouse. It was probably to your children. I know that in 25 years of youth ministry, I used that phrase very often. "Come on now, you know better than that. You know better." And the idea is to encourage other people to a higher degree of knowledge or some higher degree of understanding or wisdom. It doesn't always work. A lot of times it doesn't work. And our patience may become very limited with the person that we're encountering. But Jesus, on the other hand, seemed to have infinite patience. As he was dealing with this group of guys called his disciples, he had limitless patience. Think about the setting for what we've just read. They're walking and Jesus is wanting to teach them. The word specifically says he wanted to be left alone because he had something to teach his disciples. He wanted personal time. Didn't want the distractions of the crowd. He wanted intimate time of teaching with his disciples. He was going to tell them how he was going to be handed over to a group of people whose desire was to kill him. And he told them that they would succeed in their plan. That wasn't the first time that he told them this. Now, the disciples are supposedly his closest friends, his closest inner circle, if you will. And he's telling this group of people, his closest friends, about his upcoming suffering and his death. Can you imagine the emotion? Can you imagine the pain that he experienced as he's having to tell his closest friends about what he is going to have to endure? How much energy, spiritual, emotional, physically, would it take to try to tell our loved ones of that kind of message? And his disciples, well, Scripture said, and I quote, "But they did not understand." They didn't understand. Why? Well, maybe they didn't want to understand. If they're like us, sometimes we just don't want to know. It's easier just not to know that information. Besides, they were distracted. Part of the reason they didn't get it is because they were distracted. And why were they distracted? Because they were having a discussion and an argument about the meaning of life. No. They were having a discussion about which one of them was the greatest. Now, maybe Jesus wasn't sure about the subject of their conversation. Maybe he hadn't heard them. Maybe he was just testing them. No, I don't think so. See, what we forget here is the Son of God. He knew. He knew exactly what they were talking about. Nevertheless, he asked them, "By the way, guys, what were you talking about on the road back there on the way in? You were obviously distracted. What were you talking about?" And to the disciples' credit, at least they had the decency to stay quiet. Maybe they were so embarrassed they couldn't answer. Or maybe they couldn't think of a tactful way to say, "Jesus, I know you've been showing everyone what it means to be a servant. But, you know, quite honestly, we were having this discussion about which one of us is the greatest." That probably wouldn't come out well, no matter how you said it. I wonder how long it took before, in his mercy, he broke the awkward silence following that question. "Guys, what were you talking about on the road on the way in?" Now, apparently, Jesus didn't chew them out. He didn't chew them out for their lack of sensitivity. He didn't put his finger in their face and wag it at them and scold them and lecture them. He didn't just stand there and stare them down. Young people, wouldn't you rather parents scream sometimes than just give you that stare? Or to say, I'm just so disappointed. Please, scream, do something. Don't give me the "you know better" or "I'm so disappointed" line. Apparently, Jesus didn't even raise his voice. Instead, he sat down and he called them together and he took a child in his arms. And then he did what he always did. He taught them. He taught them. It's not recorded for us how Jesus actually revealed that he knew the exact subject matter that they had been talking about. We don't know how he revealed that. Maybe the disciples finally just admitted. They said, "You know, okay, here's what we're..." Maybe the silence got the best of them to the point where they just cracked. And Peter, being Peter, doing what Peter did so well, just let his mouth go full throttle and just spilled it all out there. Maybe that's what happened. We don't know. But whatever transpired, we do know that Jesus makes the lesson very clear. What he was there to teach them, there's no denying. If we want to be first in the eyes of God, we must make ourselves last. If we want to be a superhero in the kingdom of God, we have to be a servant. That is the undeniable message that Jesus was going to teach. Now, this is not new information. For most of us, if we grew up in the church, this is not new, is it, choir? No. We've heard at least one sermon on that. We've had at least one Sunday school lesson. We've had at least one WMU study or Baptist mission study where we talk about how if you want to be a servant of God, that's what pleases God the most. You've heard that. But why did Jesus take a child and bring a child into their midst and then make the point? It may have been that children were so vulnerable. A child is defenseless and vulnerable and completely dependent upon their parents. In that day and in that culture, children really had very little value. Actually, most people attached more value to their livestock because the livestock could at least earn you a living. So what is Jesus teaching? Maybe by the way that he treated the children, he is ushering in a new era. He is helping people to realize the value of children. The value of teaching children, passing on what you know of God's ways. But most certainly, the illustration is clear. We belong at the bottom of our priority list, not the top. At the bottom. It led me to reflect on my own life, and it made me wonder how many times God has looked on my words and my deeds and thought, "Raymond, you know better than that. You know better than that. What are you thinking?" But instead of raking me over the coals, and instead of sitting me down and wagging a finger and giving me a lecture, God sits down with me. He gathers me in, And it reminds me once again of the things that I need to remember. He reminds me of who I need to be. Even when I thought I knew better, He teaches. We're called, according to this passage, we are called to be servants of all. That is an action as well as an attitude. We are called to be servants. We're called to have servants' hearts. We are called to accept and to welcome even those people that we wouldn't want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. Under our own power, we wouldn't want to do that. We are called by God's power to welcome and encourage and serve all people. We're called to put others at the head of the table and put ourselves last. But again, we know all that, don't we? We know that. We know that here. See, we're not plagued with a lack of wisdom or knowledge. What we're plagued with is a lack of obedience. We desire, selfishly, to be great among others. We have conformed and we've bought into a worldly definition of greatness, which says, you know, we are to be first. You step on others on the way to the top and you don't worry about coming back down because you're never coming down. That's the lie that we buy into. We're tempted to make friends with the world, and in doing so, we flaunt the risk of becoming an enemy of God. We know better than that. We should know better than that. But we're not dumb. We're not naive. Our problem, again, is not knowledge. Our problem is obedience. See, if we're left to our own desires, if we're left to worldly wisdom, we invite God's disapproval. We invite God's disappointment. And if we're not real careful, we invite God's wrath. But we know that too, don't we? Again, the problem is not with our knowledge, it's with our obedience. We have no way to estimate or to determine the endurance of God's patience. But we do know, we know very clearly from Scripture, we know that during His earthly years, Jesus personally identified with my favorite superhero, Underdog. The Underdog. I'm not speaking literally here, gang, okay? Underdog is not real, okay? The Underdog. The person that was persecuted. The person who had the odds stacked against him. That is who Jesus was a champion of. He was a champion of those who were forsaken. He was a champion of those who were oppressed. He was a champion of the children. He was a champion of the servants. And despite our pretense that we know better, God still operates in that same fashion. I was reading a story about Gandhi. And there was an account about as he entered a village, as he was traveling about India, the first thing that he did when he went into a village was to gather all of the human feces that was in the street everywhere else and move it as far away from that village's water supply as he could physically move it. And the servants would always say, "Do not do that. Let us do that. Let us do the act of service while you do more important things." To which he would reply, "There is no more important thing than to serve." Ours is a call to realign our priorities. Ours is a call to obedience. Ours is a call to realize the greatness that's achieved not through political pandering, but through service to other people. Most of all, to those who might be considered by our culture less than. Most of all, to those who would be considered the least of these. Remember Jesus' words, Roger. Remember them, buddy. You've quoted them so many times as we get ready to prepare to go to Mountain Outreach. We always read, it seems like, from Matthew 25, verse 40, and rightly so. "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers, you did for me." Or as the King James says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Thus the name for our new missions initiative, Team I Am, Team In As Much. When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, Jesus says, you've done it to him. Our call is a call that is one to, we must believe that dignity is not derived from pride, but dignity is derived by humility. That stands the world upside down, as you may have been taught. Dignity comes not from pride. Dignity comes from humility. We're called to treat others as Jesus did. We are called to treat others as Jesus would. We can do no better than that. But we know that too, don't we? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, ours is not a problem of knowledge. Ours is a problem of obedience. And so as your children, we come to you to learn. We come to you to be disciplined. We come to you to be taught. And Father, we pray that we have been taught this morning from your word, from the example that you gave us, the story that you gave us of teaching the disciples. We pray now that we would learn the lesson so that our lives would be transformed, that we would place others before ourselves, that we would have the kind of servant's heart that your son so readily exhibited. Father, we pray that as we have learned, that our actions and our attitudes will be affected, and that this week would be one where we would give more glory to you by the things that we say through encouragement and helping others, by building each other up rather than tearing each other down. And that our actions would be one of assistance, even if anonymous, to be done in the name of Jesus Christ and to give him the glory so that he would be glorified in all that we say and do. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. This morning as we've worshiped together, you may have felt God tug on your heart. I don't know what that would be. You know. And you can express that to him now. If you've never received Jesus Christ and you've heard through the example of what Jesus stands for and says, I would like to be a part of that. I want a relationship with Jesus. We'd be glad to talk with you about how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. If you are a believer and maybe the words and actions aren't marching quite in line with what we've talked about this morning, give you an opportunity to talk to the Father. Say, you know, forgive me when I failed. Lead me in better understanding of what it means to be fully obedient to your example and to your word. I give you a chance to do that. You're certainly able to do that where you are, but if you want to express it publicly, we give you that opportunity. Maybe you'd like to join with this fellowship. As the choir so beautifully sang, we are the hands and feet of God. And we are striving in this community to be exactly that, the hands and feet of God working to serve others, and we invite you to be a part of that. If you would like to come and pray at the altar, to pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place, we invite you and encourage you to do that. If you would like to come pray asking God for some special insight into your own life as to what he would have you do in the way of service, we invite you to do that. However you feel like you need to respond to the invitation, we want to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing together now. Yeah. ask if you would please be seated for just a moment. Matt, I changed my mind. Why don't you step up there? We can be sure and hear. Matt came forward this morning and has an announcement he would like to make. And then, Matt, when you get done, if you would, just close us with a benediction.
Good. I come here today to say thank you. And I don't know if I'm going to get through this, but I've been called to serve. Excuse me. I've been called to serve as the minister to youth and children at First Baptist Church in Dunn. And it's exciting, but at the same time, I don't know how to say thank you for what this church has done in my life. I hope today that you see part of yourself up here while I'm standing, because you helped raise me. And you helped get me to this point. And I can't thank you enough. I believe that there are no goodbyes, because we have Christ. And we'll meet again one day. We don't know where they'll be. It might be back here. Or it might be in front of Him. And so I'll just see you real soon. Tentative start date's like the 14th of October, so it's 3 weeks, and I probably have 2 more weeks here, and so I just want to say thank you. And now I'd ask you if you could please join me in standing for the benediction. May the joy of Christ and the peace of Him be with you all of our days.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.